Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Luke, chapter 8. Luke, chapter 8. You mentioned southern fried chicken. What is northern fried chicken? Is there a difference? Are they the same? Oh, okay. All right. That's a Carolina man speaking right there. Whew. Oh, yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Yes, ma'am. Also from Carolina. All right. I think I asked to open Pandora's box here. I shouldn't have asked that question. I apologize. All right, Luke chapter 8, and I just want to read a couple of verses here, and we'll look at some other scriptures as well to help us understand a little bit and apply some points here this evening. But I do want to share a couple thoughts with you that can hopefully be an encouragement through a couple of different lenses, a couple of different ways there. And a Bible character that we're probably very familiar with, I think most of us are familiar with her as well, not just from Scripture, but because we have seen her portrayed throughout the years here at Open Door because of Living Cross. And so I want to share a little bit of the story of Mary Magdalene. So look at Luke chapter 8 and verse number 1. Luke chapter 8, verse number 1. It came to pass afterward that Jesus, went throughout every city, not just the cities, but he also went into the villages, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. The 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils. I want to talk to you about God can use you. Father, Lord, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to church. Pray that you'll just open our hearts, open our ears to hear what you would have to say. I pray that you would help us to understand the truth and get a better understanding of this story and how it can impact our lives. And Lord, how we can make an impact on other people as a result of that and also ourselves, and it can draw us closer to you. Lord, I pray you just guide and direct and bless. We'll ask all these things, and we'll ask them in your name, I pray. Amen. You know, there's an old saying that says, sometimes your past can haunt you. And this, in this story, is very applicable with the story of Mary Magdalene. Mary was really an amazing Bible character. When you look at all the different times in which she is included in Scripture, she has such a unique story in all the different things that she did. It starts in Luke chapter 8 and verse number 2. We read of this woman. Her name is Mary, and she was called Magdalene because she was from the town of Magdala. So it was over by the coast of Tiberias is where that city is. If you look it up on your map in the back there. But we find out that this woman had 7 devils that were with her. You know, sometimes we wish that we could go back and change some of the decisions in which we made in our past. I think we can all look back at decisions that we made that were incorrect, that we didn't handle properly, that now looking back on that, we would have done something a little bit different. Mary Magdalene has oftentimes been described various different ways as to how we ended up in Luke chapter 8, verse 2, with this woman who has 7 devils. Sometimes she is referred to as a prostitute. Sometimes she is referred to as the woman that was caught into adultery. Sometimes she is referred to in history as a woman that was obviously dealing in the occult or satanic worship or something along those lines, Baal or whatever people want to throw out there. There's really no record of anything that we have, biblically speaking. There, a lot of the other stuff, although those like conspiracy theories and rumors, just so we're clear, they a lot of times will have derived from two sources back in that time period, and then a couple hundred years, I should say, after that, by the writings of a few people. The Talmud says some of the rabbis also wrote about it and made their, conspiracy theories, I think I said it earlier, their conspiracy theory about her being a prostitute. Another said a couple hundred years later that she was probably involved in some sort of satanic worship. So those two main sources have then become the viewpoint of how sometimes people hear the name Mary Magdalene. It's not there. It just is not in Scripture. We don't know exactly the reasons as to why this happened. And I think sometimes our minds are a little bit clouded in our understanding of that. And too often we paint Mary Magdalene sometimes in our mind as this wicked sinner, this really horrible person doing really horrible things. And it's kind of almost like, listen, when you do these things, this is the result of those decisions, right? And so there's a lack of love towards Mary because it's a sense of I don't want to say she deserved it, but this is the result of what you do. This is what happens. So there's a little bit of judgment sometimes from the church when looking at Mary Magdalene, and we have no idea as to why this happened. We have no clue. The scriptures are silent on the fact of really what was going on in Mary and her life that led her to this situation. We don't know. There's not a lot of situation. And I'm just here to say that I would view Mary more as a victim rather than someone we need to condemn, someone we need to look down upon, somebody that we should snub our noses at, whereas oftentimes that's sometimes how the church looks at her because she was a prostitute or she was just wicked, evil sinner and she invited these devils into her life. You don't know that. You have no basis for saying that. It's not in Scripture. It's just not there. All we know is this. Let me read it again. This is really not difficult. Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. That is it. That's all we know. There's no backstory. There's no history. All right? So everything that was done for Living Cross is a made-up story. We didn't know all the things that happened because the Scriptures are silent on it. And we don't portray her as that, obviously, but some in the church do think that. They think that she was this horrible person, and she deserved everything she got. She deserved those seven devils. If you've got seven devils in you, you absolutely deserve it because you've been doing some bad things. We have no idea. No idea is my point of any of that. But we do know this. This is what we do know. Verse 2. There were seven devils. You know what people saw when they saw Mary? A lost cause. A lost cause. I don't think that most of us in this day and age, in the time in which we live, fully really understand what it would have been like to experience a person in whom seven devils lived within. So let me try to paint a little bit of a picture for you and put yourself in Mary's situation, okay? Number one, just imagine and understand the mental torture that would have been going on in Mary. Confusion, frustration, perverse thoughts, and things that would come into her mind that she has no control over. One of the associations of this is, and an inability to think coherently. Now let me take a time out. Wives, I know that you're thinking, my husband is demon possessed. I know that's what you're thinking, but that's not the same. We're not talking the same. No, they could not, Mrs. Schutt, that was for you. And so you could not understand a little bit of anything that was going on because these devils had control over you. So there was this mental torture and you were not able to function mentally. Not only that, you have to understand that for these individuals, they could not live normal lives. That was gone, right? And so can you imagine being a family member trying to deal with these individuals? They're uncontrollable. They're wild. They are demon-possessed, which means they are going to react and say things in different ways. And you cannot control them. We read in scriptures all the different stories of people who were demon-possessed. Now, I'm not saying that this is Mary. We do not know that because, we're assuming a lot of things and we don't really know. But let's just go on some of the stories of some of the people who were dealing with some of those things, right? They had to separate them from normal life. Now, I know that we would never do this in our society, right? We would never be this judgmental because we're just not that way, okay? But if go back in your minds, back in Bible time, if you had a son or you had a daughter, what would your neighbors think about you? How would they view you? You're a sinner. You deserve this. You did something. Something happened in your home. Something happened in your life. And this is why this is happening. That was a Jewish mentality. I absolutely. So they would blame that. So the family they're not even demon possessed. They had to excommunicate this person. But they also would be blamed. Business, friendships, gossip, all of that is going on. And they didn't have anything to do with it. There was nothing that they did that resulted in this, oftentimes in scriptures. It wasn't some great grave sin where they were practicing the occult or satanic things or any of these things. Sometimes these things just happened for the glory of God and they were innocent. They didn't do anything wrong, but everybody excommunicated them. It was very difficult, obviously, on the person, but not just the person, the entire family. They had to kick them out of the home. They had to kick them and get them away from where they lived. Sometimes they would probably even move because they didn't want to be associated with the crazy devil lady. So you ought to understand, there is a lot going on. If there's this woman from Magdala, what is she doing all the way over here then? There's a reason she's not in Magdala, right? There's a reason she's not there. She is not there because she was probably kicked out. That's probably Mary's life. She is confused. She's mentally tortured day in, day out, nonstop, and she has no one to protect her. She has no one to take care of her, no one to love her probably. The mental torture, the social aspect, but also think of the emotional that would be connected to that. You know, you want to talk about people living with anxiety or depression in today's age? Imagine having seven devils. How do you think your emotional state would be then? I don't think it'd be well. You would be struggling. Because you have no control. You have no power. You have no control over anything happening. Because there are seven devils living inside of you. So you are emotionally distraught. You are probably alone. You have nothing. You have nothing. That's Mary Magdalene. We often read in scripture, number four, the physical pain that this would oftentimes involve. What happened a lot of times with these individuals? We read in scriptures, what did they do? They would cut themselves with stones. They were uncontrollable. They would bind them with fetters, chains. And when the devils would take over, what would they do? Break them. I mean, we're talking Samson stuff here, right? They are not capable of doing it on their own. But it is not them that is doing it. It is the strength of the devil that is within them. That is why they are breaking the chains. And they are cutting themselves. And I don't think we understand this either. When you're cutting yourself, what is that leaving afterwards? Scars. There is scars probably all over them from them cutting themselves with stones. Yes, it may have healed, but it will leave a scar. There are scars all over their bodies, their faces, their neck, their shoulder, their arms, their legs. They are probably covered in scars because they would cut themselves. The devils would do physical damage to their bodies. And then it's not just in the moment that would heal, but you could see it. It was lasting. That is something that Mary Magdalene might have been dealing with. A physical aspect of things. And then just, you can't make a choice. You know, is there something worse than not being able to make a choice? You have no power, you have no control, you have no say over anything. Imagine the things that would be coming out of her mouth, the vile vocabulary, the awful things that she would have said probably to her loved ones. And inside, she is screaming, no, don't say that to my loved one. I don't mean that. But she has no control. She has no decision of what comes out of her mouth. She has no decision over the way that she responds and the way that she acts. That is Mary Magdalene. That was all of these people. This was a lost cause. The good news is Jesus specializes in lost causes. Now, I don't know how it went. Can't exactly say the story of what happened. Again, I will read it. Mary Magdalene, out of whom went seven devils. These devils had control. These devils had a power over this young girl. There was a sense of power that they possessed and could do whatever they wanted to this individual. And then, one day, they met real power. Now, I don't know exactly how it went. There's no explanation of what Jesus did. But it's Jesus. I don't know what happened exactly, but he probably just said, go. And they were gone. Just like that. There were no chants, no potions, no rituals, no incantations, no crosses, none of that stuff. There was just the power of the Lord Jesus Christ who said, go, and out of whom went seven devils. Now, with everything that I just described of the horrible nature of what it would have been like to be Mary for we don't know how long, could have been a day or it could have been years of her life. I don't know. But you get an idea of what it would, just one day is enough. Imagine if it's years. Now, out of her come seven devils. How would you have felt? How would that have broken you to meet the Savior who says, go, and your life is forever changed? For the first time, there's safety. For the first time, there's in her own right mind. Mary found the Lord, and it changed everything. Was it over? Was it finally over? Okay. Let's play this out just for a second, too. You know what Mary could have done at this point? What a lot of other people did when we read in scriptures when they got healed. They just went home. They just went back to their lives. They had been dealing with some sort of issue, and then they finally met the Savior, and their life changed, and all they did was just go back home. But Mary didn't do that. I don't know why. Was she not welcomed? Did she not have a family? I don't know. I have no idea, but she chose to not do that. Probably something else, but nonetheless. Number two, again, as I mentioned, you're going to have physical wounds on you. It can be really difficult dealing with a past that is always in your face. It's always there right in front of you, what you were. Which leads her to not do anything. Why? Because it leads a lot of us to not do anything. Because we are constantly living with the sin or what we've done in the past that prevents us from doing what we should be doing now. That could have been Mary. I'll give you a third scenario. Now again, this would never happen today. We would never behave this way. We would never do these things. But you know, there might be some people who would doubt the devils were gone. You know, there might be some critics who may try to criticize every action she takes after that. I have taken teenagers on trips for years. And trips are great. They are so good for a lot of reasons. One of them is you get out of your normal routine, you get away from bad influences, you get inundated with Bible preaching and a good spirit, good friends, all those sorts of things. And after a couple days of being inundated with that, the Lord begins to break through that heart that is closed shut. And then after a couple days, all of a sudden, what's going to happen? People start making decisions. And they go down front, and they're crying. And they call their mama, and they apologize. And all these things that go on. But how long is that going to last? Get you back home. And in about 2 weeks, we'll find out if anything's different or not. And there's a lot of defeated young people because they fall back into them same traps. Where were you? Where are you now? Did you really mean that decision that you made? I had a young man go to conference, surrender to go in the ministry. Sunday morning rolls around. Comes forward, wants to make it public, and mom and dad are like, mm-mm, you ain't doing that. Mm-mm. That's not our plan for you. And that man is not in the ministry today. But my point is, he's still serving Jesus, let me just say that, but he's not a preacher. Here's what I'm saying. I'm saying there's a lot of people that will discourage us. There's a lot of people who will doubt us, and there are a lot of people who will be obstacles to us serving the Lord. Now, I don't know if all of those people were like that with Mary Magdalene, but people are people. there was a traitor in the camp. And there was a Peter. So I don't know. When we fail to break with the past and allow unhealthy influences to remain in our life, we oftentimes fall back into those old ways. Yes, we've seen it with teenagers, but if you think it's just a teenage thing, that's not true either. It is also an adult thing. It is not easy. But here's the key. It is possible with God. None of us are strong enough to do this on our own. None of us have the ability to do all of this in our own strength. Pastor Ray's illustration was fantastic. Went just with what I was preaching on tonight. It is not just about him. It is about the Word of God that was convicting him that he listened to. He is not strong enough in and of himself to do all of these things. It is the Word of God. It is the Spirit of God that will convict, that will show us the way that we ought to behave, act, think, and then we can make those decisions. But too often what we try to do is on our own strength to do these things. Let me share with you a couple thoughts here. That's the story. Let me give you some points. What happened to Mary? Mary became one of the most devoted followers of Jesus Christ. She followed Jesus everywhere. Everywhere. Not only that, read the next verse. Verse 3. Joanna, the wife of Chuza, whatever his name is, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, now listen to this, ministered unto him of their substance. He would go around to the villages, he would go around to the cities, and these groups of people would follow him, and then they would also minister unto him. And Joanna and Susanna and many others ministered unto him of their substance. They gave. They ministered by giving what they had to the Lord Jesus and the disciples, to everybody take care of this situation. They were working to minister and to serve. And so these people were behind the scenes who were then ministering to the ones who were ministering. But the story is even greater than that. Go to, take your scriptures, and we're going to turn to a couple different passages here just for the story's sake. Go to Mark chapter 15 for me, if you would. Mark 15. You know the story? Just want to show it to you. Look at verse 40. There were also women looking on afar off, among whom was Mary Magdalene, Mary the mother of James the Less and of Joseph and Salome. There was looking afar off Mary Magdalene. Where is this? This is at the cross. This is at the crucifixion. Where's Peter? Not there. Where's a whole bunch of the other disciples? Not there. But where's Mary Magdalene? She is there. She stayed. She is there at the crucifixion, and she watched him die. Helpless. I told you all the things that happened and how out of her came seven devils. Can you picture, and we illustrate it all the time on this side over here, as Jesus is dying on the cross and the women all in black who are over here. But can you for a moment stop and feel her pain? Can you feel her heartbreak as she watches the Son of God, who she has traveled around now, following, ministering, helping, who out of her came seven devils, and she watches him die. That would have been excruciatingly painful for her, probably. Turn to John chapter 19. Go to John. This is a horrible, horrible thing that she went through. Stood by the cross again. This is verse 25. And there is Mary. We read in John's story. Now, he dies. And in another passage, I believe back in Mark, which I probably should have had you read, but back in Mark, she takes notice of where they laid his body. Now, in the story, go to chapter 20, John chapter 20. The first day of the week, and here she appears again. Cometh Mary Magdalene early, when it was yet dark, unto the sepulcher. Now, if you go back to Mark, don't turn there. Just stay here, because I'll come right back to the John passage there. But I do want to read just for a second here, for sake of clarity and understanding the story. Each writer of the Gospels has a point that they're trying to make. And so not all the facts are given in the story. So John tells us in verse number 1 that Mary Magdalene came in verse number 1 of chapter 20. Mark tells us in verse 16, chapter 16, verse 1, when the Sabbath was passed, Mary Magdalene and Mary and Salome brought the spices, and they were having this conversation about who shall roll the stone away from the sepulcher. And then they looked, and the stone was rolled away. Now, in chapter 20 of John, it is the first day of the week, Mary Magdalene. It's only Mary kind of in this story, but it wasn't just Mary. And so they see the sepulcher, and they see the stone has been rolled away. And she runneth and cometh to Simon Peter and the other disciples. Well, there's a little bit more to the story here, and let me just read it for you. They enter the sepulcher, and this is in Mark chapter 16, so just listen to this. They enter the sepulcher, and there was a young man sitting on the right side, clothed in long white garments, and they were affrighted. They were afraid. And he, this angel, said unto them, "Be not affrighted, be not afraid. Ye seek Jesus of Nazareth, which was crucified. He is risen. He is not here. Behold, the place where he laid. Go your way and tell his disciples." So that's where we pick up in chapter 20, where you're at, of John. And so they go, and Peter, therefore, went forth, verse 3, and that other disciple, who is John, came to the sepulcher. And they ran both in. And they were looking down. They didn't see him. There was the napkin in verse number 7. And then they went in, the other disciples, and which came first, the sepulcher, and he saw and believed. for yet he knew not scriptures that he must rise again from the dead. Verse number 10, look at this. And the disciples went away again unto their own home. So they, the women, go to the tomb to anoint the body because they loved the Lord and they didn't want to see his body desecrated. So they went to fulfill this ritual. And while they're there, they're talking amongst themselves. How are we going to get this stone rolled away? I mean, I don't know what we're going to do. They get there and it is rolled away. They look inside. There's an angel. And the angel said, he's not here. You search for him. Go tell his disciples. So they run and go get Peter and the disciples. They run back and they go into the tomb. And then when they have these conversations, they're all stirred up and everything. Then in verse number 10, they go away. And then verse 11. But Mary Magdalene, stood without at the sepulcher weeping. I love this part. She stooped down and she looked into the sepulcher. And what does she see? Two angels in white, the one at the head and the other at the feet where the body of Jesus had laid. And these angels said unto her, Woman, why weepest thou? She said unto them, listen to what she says. Because I have, because they have taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. Can I just remind you, who's she speaking to? Two angels! How are you going to respond if you go to the tomb and he's not there and all of a sudden angels are there? She pays no attention to the angels. Like they're like nothing to her. Like you see angels every day or something. That's not what's happening. But she responds and what is her first thought? Jesus. Not the angels, not the miracle, not what is happening. Her concern because this is her heart. Because this is where she's at. It's the Lord Jesus. Why are you so upset? Why are you weeping? Because they've taken away my Lord, and I know not where they have laid him. That is a woman who is dedicated to the service of the Lord Jesus. Why? Because God changed her. God changed her. Church, God changed us. You may not have had seven devils come out of you, but you were on your way to a Christless eternity in hell. And the Lord Jesus saved you. How are we any different than Mary Magdalene? Why do we not act the same as Mary Magdalene acted? That's how we should be. We should have the same fervor and the same intensity that this woman had for the Lord Jesus in her service. And she followed Jesus all over the villages and all over the cities, ministering unto him. And when everybody fled, she stayed when he went to that cross. And who was the first one there? The resurrection Sunday, Mary Magdalene. Mary Magdalene meets two angels. And what is her response? Where's my Lord? Where is the body of Jesus? Not interested in the miracle of seeing two angels. Not interested in any of this other stuff. And your white garments that you're wearing and all of the, I'm not interested, I'm not impressed by any of that. Because in her heart was, where is the Lord? She just wanted to be close. The change in Mary led to the devotion from Mary. The change in Mary led to a devotion from Mary to the Lord Jesus. Mary never looked back. She very easily could have. Can I just encourage you with another thought? You and I do not have the power to erase our memory. But you and I do have the power to erase the effect that our memory will have on us. You can never go back and undo. But you can move forward and live for Him. So what is slowing us down in the race that is set before you? What is hindering your progress? And there are too many of us who are focused on whatever happened instead of it's under the blood and I need to move forward for my Savior and have a Mary Magdalene heart to serve Him. Mary demonstrated that she had a love for the Lord Jesus. She wasn't demon-possessed. She was Jesus-possessed. Mind, soul, and body was all the Lord's. And it showed by what she did, her actions. Now, I speak a lot to this evening to those who may be Mary Magdalene's, who may have that kind of a difficulty or that kind of a struggle in the beginning. But I also know that there are a lot of Christians in the church who have not had a past like Mary Magdalene. They have been raised in a good home and did not do all of those things or be involved in the things that would lead us to having a horrible past. So if you cannot identify with Mary Magdalene and struggling with things from the past, can I give you a little bit of an encouragement here when we look at Mary from another angle, a different view, a different way? Number one, pray for the Mary Magdalenes. There is no one perfect, and there is always hope with the Lord Jesus. There's always hope with the Lord Jesus. So pray for them. Pray for the Mary Magdalene. Number two, we must learn to be patient with others. We may feel as if we do not have those things in our past like other people may have, which then can sometimes, unfortunately, lead us to having a mindset that is lacking in love and compassion towards others who may be in that situation, which then leads to a spiritual pride within ourselves that I am no longer like them. And thank goodness I am not. And oh, how that was so pharisaical when that Pharisee stood up. I thank thee, God, that I am not like others are. Be patient with others. And number three, no matter who you are, you can always follow her example. Why? I mean it in context of, I don't have all of those horrible things in my past that is keeping me or hindering me, discouraging me from serving God now. I don't have all of those things. I understand that. So how can you follow her example? You can follow her example with this. She never got over meeting the Savior. She never got over it. And yes, I understand that a lot of us who grew up in Christian homes and grew up in church and come to church three times a week, we may not be involved in all of those things. I get that. But in doing so, we get stuck in a rut. We get stuck in a routine. And it's the same in, same out every week. And the growth is not there as it should be, because we're just continuing the same way because we forgot where we came from. And let me encourage you with what was written in Scripture in the New Testament about what happens when that happens. You become blind and you forget. And so we walk through life, the Christian life, not seeing others, not seeing the Mary Magdalene's, because we got over what Jesus did for us. But years later, Mary Magdalene never got over it. And neither should we. Mary Magdalene is an amazing Bible character that teaches us so many great truths, from those who struggle to those who may not even have those sort of situations. No matter how you slice it, from whatever background you come from, here's the main point. She was a follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. And may God help us to be followers of the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we thank you for the day. We thank you for the opportunity we have to come to the house of God. I pray that you'll just speak to our hearts. I pray that if there's a Mary Magdalene that is here, that Lord, tonight will be the night in which they are not possessed by all of their addictions, they are not possessed by all of their past, but they can be possessed by the Lord Jesus. They can be in His possession and in His love. Lord, I pray that you would speak to that heart. Lord, I pray that you would also speak to the hearts of all of us who have been saved, who know you as Savior, that, Lord, you would help us to follow you, that you would help us to be as committed and as passionate and in love with the Lord Jesus as Mary Magdalene was. The change that was in her resulted in what we saw from her, her actions, what she did. Lord, I pray that you would encourage us to be faithful. Pastor Jonathan prayed for laborers. Our church is always in need of the laborers because the harvest is so plenteous. So, Lord, I pray that you would help us to be a growing, thriving, passionate church for the Lord Jesus and not just sit and soak, but, Lord, that we would minister to all of those who are hurting all around us. I pray that you would speak to our hearts. We'll ask all these things and we'll ask them in Jesus' name, I pray. Amen.